Speak up. Speak out. Get involved. Get involved.
Engage-toi.
Take action.
Aktiviere deine Stimme.
Welcome to Activate Live. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you from Machinist Union headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. We have four great guests for you, including one from the National Federation of Federal Employees, or NEFI IAM, and two from the American Federation of Government Employees, explaining why a merger of the Office of Personnel Management and the General Services Administration would be bad for federal workers who keep the government running. We'll get to them shortly, but first, our organizing tip this week is empower others. Organizing is putting groups of individuals in a position to be the change they want to see in their workplace. How do you empower others in your workplace? Let us know in the comments. Well, our first guest is here to talk about healthcare organizing. IAM Healthcare Department Director Marti Garza has been busy organizing like crazy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
First, tell us a little bit about the IAM Healthcare Department, because it is relatively new.
Right. So we're one of the newest initiatives of our union, sort of pulled together by International President Martinez and the Executive Council. The healthcare department was formed because there's tremendous opportunity to grow our strength in the healthcare industry. Currently, we have 10,000 IAM members who are active employees in the healthcare sector. It's 90% unorganized, so that means that there's a lot of potential for growth. And it's resistant to both globalization and offshoring. You can't move healthcare providers out to Mexico or Korea or Canada. And it's resistant to automation as well, right? These are not jobs that, by and large, can be done by computers or algorithms. It's really a human job. It's a human services job.
So is that potential why the IAM has made a commitment to expand into the healthcare?
Yeah, there's tremendous potential. We already represent 10,000 healthcare workers across the country and in Canada. And more of our folks out in the territories have been calling in, emailing in, saying, hey, I've been approached by nurses, I've been approached by phlebotomists, I've been approached by pharmacists who want to find out about getting a voice in the job through the IAM.
So what kind of opportunities in the healthcare industry is the IAM currently pursuing?
So the healthcare industry is made up of a bunch of different subsectors. The one that most people are probably familiar with are hospitals. And so we're definitely interested in organizing and giving a voice on the job to workers at acute care hospitals. But then within that, there's also a subsector called behavioral health or mental health. And it's one of the fastest growing subsectors in the industry. And right now we are busy organizing military family life counselors across the country. There's about 2,000 of them, and they provide vital behavioral health services to our men and women in the armed forces, and they've come to us as the union that they want to join with to get a voice in the job to advocate for their profession and their patients.
That's good to know, because a lot of people overlook mental health in itself, but to look at the industry as well, that's very good to know. Mm-hmm. So how can IAM members support the efforts in the healthcare industry?
I think, one, we all partake in the industry as patients, as consumers, right? We all go to the hospital, go to the dentist, go maybe to get therapy or see a counselor. I think one of the ways that folks can participate is just sort of asking their providers, hey, how do you feel about your working conditions? How do you feel about what's going on with healthcare today? It's the number one issue facing American voters in the upcoming election, so it's on everyone's mind. And healthcare providers, they're fierce advocates and defenders of their patients. And so I think, but not many of them are aware that they can have a union, they can have a voice in the job. So one of the biggest things that we can do is just share the word that I'm a union member, I'm a member of the IAM. We represent a wide variety of workers, including healthcare workers, and we have all sorts of ways that we can plug you into, organizing at your workplace.
I think more often than not, when you ask somebody how they're doing and how their working conditions are, you can get an earful sometimes.
Absolutely.
So it's very rare, I think, to say, oh, everything's fine, no matter what the industry. How can people get in touch with your department, or if they'd like to learn more about the healthcare department?
So they can always call headquarters here at the Grand Lodge and ask for me. But we have a website that's public-facing. It's iamhealthcarepros.org. And that sort of is a good one-stop shop for all the different things that we're involved in, some of the issues that we're supporting and fighting for, and folks can get on there and fill out a form, and we'll follow up with them, direct people that they know who are interested in organizing with the IAM to that website, and just sort of take, it's a good way to take some quick, simple digital actions that will really make a difference.
Okay, so that's iamhealthcarepros.org. Thanks so much for stopping by. You're always welcome to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marti. So let us know what you think. Comment now to activate your voice about healthcare organizing. organizing and workers' rights in the healthcare industry. So two rallies took place Tuesday in Washington, D.C., the first on Capitol Hill at the House Triangle. And here are some photos that we have from the event about the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. Now, most people just call it NAFTA 2.0 because it's essentially a deal to replace the old North American Free Trade Agreement. The AFL-CIO considers the new NAFTA another corporate handout that won't stem outsourcing or protect working people's rights. Well, labor leaders, this is Hassan Salomon, our IAM legislative director, they say that the current agreement lacks strong, enforceable labor and environmental standards, and they want to make sure that these problems are addressed. And you can see lots of them holding up signs like this one, "No vote until NAFTA is fixed." Now, at the same time this rally was taking place, another rally was going on outside the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, and the General Services Administration, or GSA, to oppose the president's proposed merger of the two government agencies. Now, NEFI-IAM and the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE, hosted this rally. Our two unions have worked together in the past, fighting for back pay for federal workers since the last government shutdown ended in late January, and it was the longest U.S. government shutdown in history. But not all the workers were paid for their time. That included contractors. Well, solidarity is about being there for each other. Two unions working together for a common cause. To tell us more about the rally that took place yesterday and the current status of the merger is NEFI-IAM's Steve Lankert. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Tanya.
So tell us a little bit about, well, first tell us, who are some of the workers and the types of federal workers that NEFI-IAM represents?
So NEFI-IAM represent people from all over the government, from the Department of Defense, Veterans Affairs, the Department of Commerce. We have members over at Homeland Security. We have a number of members at smaller independent agencies across government, and we also have a pretty strong showing in the Department of Agriculture and the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service.
Now, we saw some video of the rally earlier. How did that go yesterday for people who were there?
We had a great rally yesterday. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of fear, and a lot of worry, but there definitely was a strong collective force between the members of the unions that were there. Union leadership, members of Congress, including congressional leadership in the House, and also other federal employees that aren't affiliated with unions showed up as well, too. So we had a great showing. I think everybody is very concerned if any kind of a breakup of OPM was to happen. And I think we all were singing from the same sheet of music that this is a terrible plan and a terrible idea by this administration.
To give people an idea of how things are set up right now between OPM and GSA, like, what is the role now of OPM?
So OPM is responsible for its most important core mission is to protect merit within the government workforce, and merit oversees how we hire, terminate, discipline, how we promote people, and essentially how we keep the federal workforce transparent, honest, and efficient. GSA is an enormous organization, enormous agency, and it's responsible. It has a wide portfolio that they're responsible for across the government. They handle everything from real estate issues to a procurement. I mean, you name it, anything to do with office space, cars, fleet services, they have their hands in it.
So they have two very specific, you know, two very different, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, very, very different functions. The Office of Personnel Management is the HR department for the government. They're responsible for the policies. They're responsible for, again, enforcing merit. They're really the standard bearer for the other departments and agencies as to what HR policy should entail, how we should communicate with our workforce, how we should manage our workforce. It's completely different from the General Services Administration. There is no overlap. And the idea that this administration wants to get rid of the HR department of the largest corporation in the world is stunning.
How will dismantling OPM affect federal workers? I mean, all federal workers.
It'll affect every single federal worker out there. OPM processes all the paperwork when you get a job, when you're going for a security clearance and so forth. Even though they've come away from conducting the actual background checks themselves, they still process the information that gets sent over to the Department of Defense. So if you have a clearance, if you apply for a job, if you look at USA Jobs, the job site, they run that. So it will affect every employee directly or indirectly. And certainly it'll affect their departments and agencies if there's no centralized authority for how we manage our workforce.
Now, you mentioned USA Jobs. A lot of people have used that website, you know, to apply for the federal government.
Very popular. Yeah.
I would say millions of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a long application, but it's worth it, you know,
it
if
is.
You can get a job.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to mention before you go? Because I know we're going to talk to AFGE next.
Yep.
But
well, I think the thing to remember is that, you know, this administration, it's not known for its desire to follow laws, to follow regulation. It sees itself outside of the purview of ethics laws. So it's no surprise that they're trying to dismantle the agency that's actually responsible for enforcing those things within the government. We, like Congress, both Republican and Democrats, we think what they're doing is illegal. We're going to try to stop them as much as we can. Trump has threatened to simply lay off the workers that work at OPM, and I'm sure that your next guest from AFGE are going to tell you more about that. But that's just an example of how this administration is trying to politicize the executive branch for their own personal gain.
Well, we're keeping a close eye, and I know our union members will be very vocal. Hopefully they're commenting now. So thank you for stopping by.
My pleasure.
And you're welcome to come back anytime.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. So join the conversation. What do you think about the proposed merger of OPM and GSA? Comment now to activate your voice using live chat on YouTube, comments on Facebook, or by replying to this video on Twitter. You can even comment during the replay. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the proposed merger of OPM and GSA, two separate government agencies. Our next guest is AFGE Local 32 Vice President John Cherry. I think you're first vice president, is that correct?
No, I'm current president.
See, I knew I'd messed something up, but we got it straight. Okay. So John Cherry is the current president of Local 32. So I didn't mean to demote you, but first tell us a little bit about, Steve alluded to the fact that there is a request for hiring and firing authority, you know, that proposal to put it under the White House. What do you think about that?
It will take away the democracy for federal employees. It will take away our rights because we are actually a merit-based system on hiring. So you have to qualify for a federal job. You have to, there's KSAs, there's questions you have to ask. Sometimes you have to take tests. So this new position that will be under the White House, under OMB, will eliminate the merit-based system. So basically you can call up your homeboy and be like, hey, my daughter needs a job, and they wouldn't have to go through, you just mentioned the USA job, they wouldn't have to go through the USA job. This person would have authority from the White House to say, hey, yeah, let's hire your daughter.
And we've been using this merit-based system for a while, right?
Yes, actually it started in 1883.
Wow. So there's a long history, long precedent there.
Correct.
Another thing that we've been talking about is the president has threatened to lay off or furlough employees if Congress doesn't approve his plan. How do you react to that?
The rally. One of the things that we, the rally was already planned for like 2 weeks, but we ended up actually, I believe that the president actually helped the rally get its boost, because a lot of politicians started to want to come to our rally and everything after this article came out saying that the administration wants to get rid of 150 people at OPM if OPM doesn't get the funding that they're asking for from Congress. The morale around the agency is very bad. A lot of people are afraid for their jobs. They change standards. We have standards, performance standards. They're unachievable. And if you're not actually performing at your 100% in the federal government, they're actually able to fire you and let you go. So we feel that this is another way that the administration has said, hey, we're going to set these high standards for these employees, and if you don't meet the high standards for the employee, that's another tactic of actually getting rid of people. So
this is making people mad. I mean, it sounds like that's what you're hearing.
Yeah, a lot of people is mad. A lot of people is mad, and a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are scared to speak up, and we are actually, today we had a general membership meeting. I'm like, people, come on, let's fight. We got to get into this fight. So basically, being the president, you know, if you're scared to fight, we will actually ask you to contact your congressman. You can call your congressman. You can step outside your office on your break, call your congressman and tell him you don't support the merger. Go to the Hill and just make these phone calls to your congressman and tell them you don't support the merger and you work there and you're scared for your job.
Look, we have a comment already from Zita Hildebrandt right on the screen here. She's saying, isn't it a shame that politicians don't have to qualify for their job? Yeah, I always say I wish we had more government representatives and less politicians. So, thank you.
Yes. Even with the government shutdown, when we had the government shutdown a while ago, a lot of the American people said, hey, if the federal government isn't getting paid, and a lot of people was working and not getting paid, why can't politicians don't get paid if the government shut down? We still haven't found the answer for that yet either.
Wow. I still want Congress to, have Social Security like a lot of people or have to go through what federal workers have to go through, to make it more equal.
Well, the staff is even worse. Their health benefits sucks.
Oh, that could be a whole other show.
We could totally
go into another topic because there's just so much that I think the American people would like to fix about the U.S. government.
Yeah, it is a lot.
One more question before you leave.
Yes.
How did this all get started? Like, why is this happening?
So one of the reasons it started, it goes back to opium. It's very old. Opium was established in 1979. So the building's old, the mainframe's old, the computer systems are old. We're working on ancient systems. So when the security breach happened, there was this two security. I don't think the American people know, but there were several security.
Don't give up too many secrets.
I'm sorry. it was several security breaches done, and people information got compromised. So the system is old, but Congress hasn't really funded OPM in probably fully like 30 years. So it is kind of old. So I think the Trump administration, hey, if we didn't get money for 30 years, we're still using this mainframe, nothing happening. Fix the mainframe and not try to actually take away our workforce policies and everything and put it into an agency that only handles buildings and lease contracts and vehicle contracts.
It sounds like it's a lot about priorities. It's like, get your priorities in order, keep everything maintained.
Correct.
And up to par and funded.
Correct. And during the congressional hearing, Jerry Connolly said that a lot, like, fix what you got. Don't try to move it out and just, or look somewhere else to send OPM and not just to an agency that only do buildings.
A lot of it doesn't make sense to me. I'm sure a lot of it doesn't make sense to the American public, but we like to try and stay informed as much as we can. So
yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention before you go?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Keep us up to date. Keep
in touch.
I will.
All right.
We do appreciate it. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about the proposed merger between OPM and GSA. So comment now to activate your voice. Let us know what you think about this proposed merger and how it will affect workers. We especially want to hear from you if you work for the U.S. government. So if you're an IAM member, NEFI-IAM, AFGE, write in. We really appreciate it. So Apollos Baker is also with AFGE. He's joining us right now in our studio, and he's been listening to our previous interviews. So I wanted to find out from Apollos, where do we go from here? What happens next?
So one thing we have to do is, with the federal government, is making sure people understand that it's important to engage your members of Congress, your legislators, and then also even the folks that are state representatives, because these folks do grow up. and they become something else. We look at our leader here in Maryland, Mr. Hoyer. Before he was a majority leader, he was in the House, the Assembly House. So these folks go, it's important to engage everyone on what these issues are. Also, the one thing to add is particularly is about retirement. OPM is the agency that oversees all federal retirement for whether you're in the CIA, the military, or any other government agency. So from cradle to grave, as they said, your retirement is there. So whether you have a person that has passed on and your loved one has received that retirement, their retirement is there. So you want to make sure you're engaged with those folks as well as just not federal employees, but maybe even the spouses of federal employees who may have transitioned on that are receiving a death benefit from probably the military.
So there's a lot at stake here.
There's a lot at stake for everyone in America, and it's important that America engages the public and engages their member of Congress to try to make sure that we are protecting the systems and upgrading the systems so that we can continue to move forward America. Because the biggest thing that we have forgotten about is that during our economic downturn, the federal government agencies were the ones who suffered. Not just the employees suffered, but then also when you didn't have necessarily the appropriate amount of money because America wasn't working, well, we can't upgrade systems. So we're going to put that on hold for right now while we continue to work through our economic downturn to get back to where we need to be. And now that America has turned itself around and we're getting the positive concern of our economic boom, now's the opportunity for us to start taking advantage of improving our systems and investing in our federal employees and making sure everyone is engaged on that.
What was your reaction to the rally? Because I see there were government representatives there. There were politicians there. Were you getting a sense from them about the fight, you know, and them joining the fight?
They're in the fight with us, and we appreciate their support. We'd like to have more people in the fight because a part of it is it's not just federal employees. It's America that's at stake here. And we had folks that, one lady, she heard the music from California. She came over and said, I heard the music, what's happening? I said, well, this is about OPM and what's happening and the dismantle of the government. And we have a petition that was online at AFGE, Save OPM. She said, oh, I'll sign because now I understand the fight. So we put out information and literature on why OPM is important. It's about securing diversity and making sure America stays diverse in its federal workforce. It's about making sure that people are there who have dedicated service. You only take one oath to America. The same oath that the military folks take are the same folks that the folks at OPM have taken. So they're here to serve America, and we must embrace that and embrace their service and thank them for their service.
Say that website for the petition again.
It is at afge.org/saveOPM.
So afge.org/saveOPM.
Yes.
Okay. So you were educating someone who may have been a tourist right there on the street.
Yes. And she approached us, came up, and wanted to engage because we were just outside of, well, what's happening? So it's important that we try to make sure that we're telling the American people what's happening with America, because too many times we can get engulfed in our own lives and forget that other things are happening around us, and we need to engage them on that.
So it's not just the federal workers, but it's the services that we provide to the American people.
Yes, because we're looking at a lot of different things that have been systematically changed, like what you're seeing particularly in EPA, mm-hmm. with how emissions are now going to be changed concerning what's happening there, whether you're looking at the Department of Education and the standard of education. The current administration has decided to just change different things, and some of it may be good, some of it may be bad, but you must engage to find out if it's good for you, if it's good for America. Many of these things we disagree with because they're not necessarily going to move us in a very positive direction, but take us back to a 20th century model. We're in the 21st century. So it's important that we're moving forward and embracing 21st century philosophy to move America in a proper chain.
Yeah, no one wants to go backwards.
No.
How can union members help us in this fight, and how can the public help?
Well, I think John stated it properly right there, which is calling your member of Congress and letting them know where you stand. But then also those who are federal workers, it's important that if you stop by your union offices and see what they have going on. Stop by being part of a union meeting. If you're in another union outside of a federal worker, finding out how they're participating, because a lot of them are already in this fight. We think about it. We talked about with NAFTA. We're directly affected with NAFTA indirectly because we represent the Import-Export Bank. So that's important for us to make sure that we have solid trade agreements there, but we need to be done right. So if you're engaged in America, engaged in your public by making those telephone calls, by attending town halls, by then following up with your labor leaders or even elected officials, finding out what's happening, that'll keep us moving in the right direction.
What do you want the American people and union members to know about possible pay raises next year for all federal workers?
Well, today it just actually passed the House for 3%. It is now moving on to the Senate. Hopefully there will be a Senate version going on. But we still have a long fight ahead because in the past, before 2012, the federal worker did not receive a pay raise for about 4 years. So they sat on the same raise, even though inflation kept rising.
Yes.
So now what we're doing is part of the House has decided to try to catch them up with 3.1% for next year. So that has passed, but it now moves on to the Senate. So we're hoping people will engage the senators and ask them to make sure they come on and support the bill to make sure that we're giving federal workers the right amount of money so they can be able to live and sustain their life.
I literally just posted in an Instagram story the other day, I think it was yesterday, that if you do not get a cost of living increase, inflation still goes up, that you're getting a pay cut. Because, you know, food prices still go up, healthcare costs still go up, you know, gasoline prices still go up, and if you're not getting a raise to keep up with that, you got a pay cut.
You sure do. And then also something that we always forget about, our healthcare.
Yes.
Whether it's the premiums, deductibles, our young people, our children have to go to the doctors, everything like that, to keep them up to par. All those things matter, and if someone's not being able to keep up their standard of living, they're taking a step back. And then as we can see with the last shutdown, some folks were literally shut out because most folks are probably a paycheck or two away from having a situation change dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, one medical, you know, operation can make them homeless, bankrupt and homeless.
Yes.
So, well, we appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else that you wanted to... clear.
I want to thank you all for hosting us today and helping us put out our story. We appreciate our brotherhood and sisterhood with you all. We're looking forward to continuing our efforts to strengthen our bond with all of labor. We appreciate what you all are doing to continue our story and move us forward as labor. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it, and we are always willing to work together with you. We're always stronger together.
Yes.
So thank you for being here. We appreciate it. So... let us know what you think at home. Even if you're watching the replay, you can still comment on this issue. We want to hear from you, especially members of IAM, NEFI IAM, and AFGE. Federal workers keep the government running all day, every day, and many have worked in the same job for decades. So comment now to activate your voice and help support federal employees. We have a comment here from AFGE. AFGE is checking in. Thanks for featuring our AFGE Local 32 President John Cherry to discuss the important issue. Thank you, AFGE National, for checking in with us. We appreciate you as well, and we look forward to working together in the future so we can fight back and fight for federal workers and continue that fight. So thank you to all of our guests, to John Cherry, Apollos Baker, and to Steve Lenkert. So we gave you a lot of information there. Keep commenting. We got some great comments coming in. Well, here is a look back at this week in labor history. The Fair Labor Standards Act passed on June 25th, 1938, adopting the 8-hour workday, the 40-hour work week, and minimum wage and overtime. And on June 27th, 1890, the first IAM local in Canada was founded in Stratford, Ontario, which caused our union to be renamed the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. So that's how we got the international. At one point, we were even in Mexico. Here's a picture, an old picture from Canada. At the time, we had 4,000 members. So happy anniversary to our Canadian siblings, and happy Canada Day, which is coming up on Monday. Well, the grandson of a late IAM member shared some old photos with us recently via social media. He uploaded them to Facebook and send us a message. Jeffrey Young found these matchbooks in his grandfather's toolbox. His name was Marion Rufus Young, and they called him Bud. He passed away 25 years ago, but left these matchbooks behind. One even with a quote from the late IAM International President William W. Wimpesinger, which reads, "Few employers ever gave us anything. What we have gained, we have won through our union." Always nice to find little keepsakes like that. So keep in touch with us. If you are a member, oh, and thank you, Jeffrey, for putting those in. If you're a member of the IIM, one of the benefits of your union membership is the ability to take classes at the Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center in Maryland. And here are some deadlines to keep in mind. July 22nd is time to register for Financial Officers Program. July 29th is the Retiree Strategy Program deadline. July 29th, also the deadline for Young Workers Strategy Program. More information is on the website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org. Here's a list of our upcoming state council meetings starting June 28th with the Texas State Council meeting until the 30th in Austin. July 25th to the 27th, the Texas AFL-CIO 60th Convention in San Antonio. August 5th and 6th, the New Jersey State Council meets in Atlantic City. And September 27th and 28th, the Maritime Council of Machinists Biennial Conference takes place in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Looking ahead to conferences ahead in the coming months for our special events, APRI's 50th Annual National Education Conference takes place August 7th to the 11th in Bloomington, Minnesota, right outside Minneapolis. That is a suburb there. The next day, August 8th through the 11th, APALA's 15th Biennial Convention takes place in Las Vegas. LACLA's National Conference will take place August 15th through the 17th in Philadelphia. And the IAM's own International Staff Conference takes place in San Diego, California, September 8th through the 12th. So we will be there. Well, next Wednesday is July 3rd. I will be off that day, but Delaine Adams will be here hosting. Let us know in the comments how you plan to spend your union-made Independence Day holiday. Support your siblings. Share this video to your local or district page. And thanks to all of you who already do.